Everybody, and welcome to the Mondays with Millie podcast. And I have with me the beautiful Millie, as always, and I've got the equally beautiful Colonel, Kirsten. She's joining me from the lounge room. She's just got back from visiting Millie in the UK recently, and I thought I'd have a bit of a chat to both of them to see how that all went. And I'll have a chat about that. And there are a few interesting discoveries while Kirsten was over there visiting her mum in terms of going through the loft. The loft is full of treasures, isn't it, Kirsten? But tell me, how much did you enjoy going back after such a long time to visit your mum?
Well, very much, obviously. And I think probably even more so given the sort of slightly stressful scenario around travel at the moment is getting much better, I suppose. But I had to have all different documents and things and testing requirements and things like that. So that was a bit stressful. But once I was, like usual, when I once I've checked in, I'm normally pretty happy once I've checked in at the airport.
Did you have to wear a mask for the whole flight?
You had to wear just a normal mask for the whole flight, but I actually chose to wear one of the N95 masks, similar to the ones we wear at work, which are sort of fully sealed around your face, because I didn't really want to arrive with COVID to see my mom after 3 years and then go, hey, it's me and I brought a friend with me. I brought COVID. So I wore an N95 on the way over, all the way, which was pretty uncomfortable. But apart from when I was eating and drinking, but it did the trick. I didn't get COVID on the way there. And on the way back, I just wore a normal mask and didn't get COVID then either. So
you've done pretty well.
Yeah.
So, Millie, how much anticipation was there knowing that Kirsten was ready to knock on the door or ring the doorbell? How were you feeling at that point?
Oh, well, of course, I was very excited, and I saw the taxi pull up, and I opened the front door, and she dashed in, and I didn't anticipate what her first words were going to be, and she suddenly said, "Have you got £10?" I went, "What?" She said.
There's a long way to go to borrow.
The taxi driver said, "My money isn't real. It's not real money." So I gave her £10. I thought, oh, you know, and she dashed off back again to pay the man. And
what happened was, I had money. I was thinking, oh, I'm really good. I've got this money. I'd had it in my drawer for 3 years and it was all good. And when I went to pay him, he said, "Oh, we don't use paper £10 notes anymore. They're all plastic." I was like, oh gosh. And I said, "Can I not use them anywhere?" And he said, "Oh, you can probably change them at the bank, but certainly not with the taxi driver." So that's why my first words were not, "Oh, Mom, how much I missed you." It was, "Have you got £10? Once we'd sorted that out, it was very nice, wasn't it? We had lots of hugs and kisses. So
we
that was
did,
all.
Yes, we did. Yes, and then, yeah. Of course, the following day you hired a car. I'd already booked the car beforehand, you know, so backwards and forwards, different phone calls and asking, well, do you want this? Do you want that? Do you want the other, you know?
Mm.
And you decided on this little Ford Focus, didn't you? So it was very economical with the petrol.
Mm. It was very.
Mm. Yeah.
Because just when you arrived over there, the petrol gone through the roof.
Mm. It was actually a very economical car. And that was the other hitch I hit, was that when I went to fill the tank up, Mum wasn't with me, and I had a card. I only had an English card card with me, and I couldn't get it to work. My PIN number wasn't the same, so that didn't work. And then, of course, I had my problem with my paper money. So I had, what was it? I think it was £30. And 30p or something like that, and I was going through my bag. I had £30, but and she said, "Well, how much have you got?" This is the lovely lady at the Morrison's petrol station near Blackpool Airport. Big shout out to that lady, and she said, "Oh, don't worry, I'll pay that for you. Don't worry at all." I felt so terrible.
So you really... so you didn't learn from your £10. Taxi driver.
Well, no,
you
because I was
to
like,
sort out your money situation.
Well, one thing was, I was like, "Oh, £30, it won't be more than that," which of course it was just more than that. But then I thought my card would work, and I didn't have the right PIN because it's been 3 years and it's a new card and it's a different PIN. I did take the lady at Morrison some chocolates. I'm not sure if she got them, but when I dropped the car off again, I dropped her off some chocolates, but. She wasn't working that day, so you never know. She might not have got them.
Well, if the lady from Morrison's is listening, because I'm sure she listens to the Mondays with Millie podcast. I'd like to say thanks.
Morrison's petrol station.
because those that are in the greatest need in our society, people who don't have plastic money, need a bit of support every now and again, don't they?
Yeah. They do. Accepting of foreigners, I loved it.
So, Millie, can I ask you what the highlight of Kirsten's visit was?
Oh, gosh. It was just one thing after another, really. You know, we went up to Scotland, of course, and I know we both love walking around St Andrews. We've done that a few times before, haven't we? And we enjoyed that, and then of course we went down to see Christopher, that was lovely. It was very nice for Kirsten because she was able to see some of her friends, and considering it was a short visit, it was she was telling people, "I'll see you if I can," So two of her friends came over to Chris's house, and they picked her up, and she stayed overnight with them in a hotel. They had a girly night out. And I don't know, what do you think was the highlight, really? It was all just lovely.
I think it was really lovely for us both to go and see Paul and Sylvia up in Scotland. It was really lovely to go down and see Chris and Jill as well. It was nice to see Chris's new house because I hadn't seen that. We're just spending all time together, really. You know, there's stuff,
as a family,
that you don't really realize you miss, I suppose, in one respect.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you realize you miss it, but it's so familiar when you're amongst it as well that you sort of, it's really lovely. You kind of feel very, you know, at home, I suppose, which is what you are, really. Yeah.
Did you, so you went into the loft while you were there, didn't you?
Well, yeah, she brought out some, there was a lot of sorting, shall I say, when I was home. There was a bit of, can you just go through, she says, can you just go through this? How about we just go through my wardrobe? How about we just go through this box of papers? How about we just go through this? There's always something to go through with Mum. So
I finished up with 5 full bags for the charity shop of clothes and shoes. And Kirsten was very good. She brought every item individually out of the wardrobe. What about this? And we'd discuss it. And then I'd say, oh, well, I really like that. And Kirsten would say, yes, but it doesn't fit you, Mum. It doesn't fit you.
You knew the things didn't fit you, but it was more, there were some sentimental things that you kept, and that was fine, that you were probably never wearing them. That doesn't matter. Yeah. It was more about making some space for you and not having to sort through the things that didn't fit to get to the things that did fit and that you did like.
Yes, that's true.
Did you find any items of clothing that you'd made yourself that you've still got?
Yes, there's the outfit I wore for your wedding. That's still upstairs, isn't it?
Did you make it?
Yes, don't you remember? Long skirt and a tunic top to it.
No, but I remember the outfit. I just didn't remember that you'd made it.
Yes, and I wore it once after that to a function at Arnold School. Yes, I bought that material in Singapore.
Wow.
Yes.
And
I don't think there's very much left that I made, really. Most of things have been passed on. I mean, gosh, you know, the coat I had on Sunday was the pink coat that I wore at Buckingham Palace. But that coat is 36 years old.
Did you not wear that for Chris's passing out parade?
No, I didn't. No. Huh? It was too cold. It was in November, and it was very, very breezy on that parade ground.
So you remember outfits that you wore at important or significant events in your life? So if I picked an event, would you be able to tell me what you wore?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to test you here, right? What did you wear at your 70th birthday, for your 70th birthday?
Oh, I couldn't tell you that because I never looked upon birthdays as very important.
Okay. All right.
I can tell you what I wore for Chris's wedding.
Go on.
I wore a silk two-piece and it was a sort of a mushroom background. It was silk mushroom background with cherries on it, tiny cherry pink blossoms on it. I wore that, and a big hat, of course.
So you'd be able to, important events for you, things like, you know, the weddings and important events in your children's lives, I imagine, like,
of course,
going to Buckingham
yeah.
Palace for Chris's OBE presentation and things like that. Yep. Is it harder to give away clothes that you've made yourself than the clothes that you've just bought?
No, I don't think so. I remember the hat I wore for Chris's passing out parade, and it was a very pale, creamy sort of felt. It was a felt hat. It was a winter hat, you see. and it had a self bow on the side.
We found that, didn't we? That was
you. We did, yes. And I pointed out to Kirsten that last year there was a photograph of Prince William's wife, Kate. She was wearing an identical hat, but it was in black, exactly the same. And I went, that's the same hat. That's the same hat. Maybe her mother had it years ago and she borrowed it. I don't know. Or whether it's just that fashions are coming back again.
I think it's more that fashions are coming back again. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I just think that next time you catch up with her, Millie, that you should just compare notes on the two hats. Yeah. I think so. So when you went up into the, when you went up and started pulling things out of the loft and starting going through things, Kirsten, were there things in there that you hadn't seen before that you thought, oh, I didn't know about that, or I didn't know that was there?
Well, there was a folder with all sorts of plastic separation pieces in. And I looked at it and I thought, I don't know what this is. And when I opened it, it belongs to you. And you left it behind when you came to live here in 2007 and went home. You obviously hadn't room for it in your bag and you left it behind. It's still in my loft. It's full of papers, I think, from when you were teaching at Steyning School.
Oh. Some of those things might not belong to me. Maybe that's why I hid them in your loft. So
maybe.
Might be best left alone. I don't know. I have to have a look at those.
Yeah.
When I see, the loft is full of surprises even for me.
All surprise.
Mm.
Yeah. You see, you escaped that, Kirsten, didn't you? Because I forgot about it and I could have pointed that out to you and then you could have gone through that as well.
I didn't want to be going through Phil's old room as well. We did find she's got a folder, I suppose, full of old paperwork. So things like old birth certificates, marriage certificates from your grandparents, Mum, and those sorts of era. Yeah. So not belonging to Mum, but belonging to her ancestors. And it was really interesting because some of them were, we were trying to fit things together in family trees and things that we knew, but there were some mistakes on some of them. So one of them that was a marriage certificate of, who was Edward Burroughs? Edward Williams Burroughs? William Edwards Burroughs?
Edward Williams Burroughs, that was my mother's father. So it was their marriage certificate.
Their marriage certificate, but on the top, so there's the top bit where it says such a body's marrying such a body. Then underneath it says, where you sign, it says I, and it has the name. So on one bit it said Edward William Burroughs, and the other one it said William Edward Burroughs. People used to get confused, really. And
on the same certificate.
You know, things, people's things go missing, you know. Yeah. It's unbelievable, really. And then there was another one who was Francis? Was that Dad's mum?
No. Yes, my mother-in-law.
Right.
And Francis Connolly, that's John's mother.
And on this, obviously, the child's name was Francis, and they just immediately assumed it was a boy. So they'd spelt it Francis with an I and put boy. And on the side, the registrar had to say, in column two, please note should read Francis with an E, and in column three should read girl, not boy. Oh my god! How long after that was picked up?
And they didn't. And they didn't find out until she was trying to draw her old age pension when she was 60, and of course they said boys, it's 60. It's a boy. He doesn't get his pension till he's 65. That's my birth certificate. Nobody's ever looked at it. They mustn't have done.
Oh wow!
So
really?
a real kerfuffle. While it officially became a girl.
Yeah,
the fact that she was married and given birth to two children.
She was well ahead of her time, I think.
Yeah.
Having been almost gender neutral there for a while. So did was it the case that people, ladies could only, or they could get their pension at 60, but men had to wait till 65? Is that?
Yes, I got my pension at 60 when I was still working. I worked till I was 65. And I could have deferred it until I was 65. So I did get in touch with them and say, what shall I do? You know, what do you advise me to do? And they just said, if I were you, I'd take your pension now. So I did. So I just left it in the bank, sort of thing, you know, drew the pension, left it in the bank.
Oh, right.
For 5 years until I retired.
Ah.
But men had to wait till, but now, of course, then it got that women had to go till they were 65. And there was such a kerfuffle about that. Really, it wasn't fair. I mean, why should women, they reckon women live longer than men anyway, so why should women get paid 5 years earlier? It wasn't right. Anyway, now they have to wait till they're 67. Everybody waits till they're 67.
Mm. Well, there's talk here that they're going to raise the pension age till 70, I think.
Oh, that will happen here, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
Actually, you know what? I did notice, Phil, because when I went over, I took my wedding certificate with me because I had a COVID test from work, but it was in my mail. I took a copy of that just in case they needed it. And I took a copy of my marriage certificate. But when I looked at it, it actually says my name is Kristen. I've never seen it before.
So we're not really married, or I'm married to someone called Kristen.
Kristen Connolly, yeah.
We'll have to find out who that is.
Yeah, I'm that chick. Well, that'd be good.
Well, my marriage certificate says I'm a year younger than I am. Because you had to go to the registrar's office within 3 months of getting married, unless you were getting married in the Church of England. So Catholics and any other, you know, any other denomination, you had to register the coming marriage with the registrar. And then they sent the certificates to the church you were getting married at, and they gave you certificate on the day. So I was only 29 when we went to register the wedding, but by the time we were married I was 28, so I was 29 by the time I got married, but it still said 28 on my certificate.
So you in essence John was marrying an even younger woman. Wasn't he?
Yes, true.
Actually, what was the, do you remember the document that got me the most angry, Mum, of all those things we looked at?
Yes, my divorce paper. No, it wasn't my divorce paper, was it? No, it was Paul's adoption certificate.
Correct.
Yes.
So what happened with that?
I said, what's this then? What does this say? And it said, John Henry Connolly, adopting Paul Gerard and his wife Doreen of the same address. And I went, you didn't have to adopt him, he was your child already. And Mum said, yeah, but that's not how it works. It was the man adopted and his wife adopted, even though I was already his parent. I was absolutely incensed by that. I was like, how could you have that you're adopting a child that's already yours?
I mean, suppose Paul had been a baby and then happened to see those papers later, he'd think that I wasn't his real mother, wouldn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
When I say mother, real mother, I mean his, you know,
biological mother.
His birth mother.
So why was it that way? Why did it?
Just the way they wrote it.
So hang on. Let me get this.
I mean, they should have said, and his mother Doreen, Ellen or something, shouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Or, you know, is well, these days they'd say you were co-parenting, wouldn't they, with,
yes,
you know.
Yeah.
Adopting, yeah. One's adopting and co-parenting with his biological mother or something. But...
so
oh, it just went... It was an ownership thing, like that dad owned, you know, dad owned you, and then and then the two of you were adopting Paul. It was just
It's amazing.
And it was just as difficult to adopt him when I was his natural mother. You know, but I did talk about that once, I think, in one of the podcasts about someone, this woman coming round and going through the house and checking everything to see if it was a suitable home for an adopted child.
Whether you say yes or no to him, we're all still living in the same house. It doesn't really matter. He's still going to be that. Yeah, just won't be on paper. It's just ridiculous,
well,
isn't it?
You wonder how...
she didn't agree that an old person was living there. That was my father. He was 66 at the time. And whose room is this then? I said, well, that's my father's room. Your father, does he stay here? I said, he lives here. But, well, that's not appropriate.
How many grandparents would have lived with their families? How ridiculous is that?
I know.
You wonder how many people had to complain about things like that for it to change? Because it would have stayed the same for such a long period of time.
That woman was in the courtroom. It was a private courtroom thing, you know, it's not open to the public. She was sat there at one side, whether she was waiting to be questioned, I don't know. But I do remember the judge saying, I don't think we require this person. So maybe he'd read her report and didn't like it, you know.
Yeah, maybe. Well, as it was
So,
Millie, have you got put aside things for Kirsten that you want? Did you go through a box of stuff that you've put aside for her?
Yes, we had fun looking at all sorts of things, that little things she had when she was a child, even her comb that had Kirsten written on it.
A plait of her hair.
When her hair was, I think it was when, I tried to think, how did we get that, such a long plait? It was about 12 inches long. And I think it was when we decided you'd have a fringe. So we cut quite a long piece off to make you a fringe.
Mm.
That's the only way I could have got that hair.
Mm. Yeah, probably.
Or while she was asleep.
Yeah, and tiny. Two pairs of very tiny gloves, white gloves. When you were bridesmaid twice, yes.
Tiny little white gloves. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful. Are they still in good condition?
Yes, of course.
Beautiful.
Mm. Of course, they've just been put away in a box.
That's lovely, isn't it?
So we did. Well, I enjoyed it thoroughly, really.
Well, it's fun.
It was
wonderful, really, and it was nice that your friends managed to visit, and two more of her friends turned up when we came home. They came over to see you, didn't they, as well?
Yeah, I went out for dinner with a couple of old school friends, which was lovely. Yeah, one I hadn't seen since I was probably 19, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
So she kept in contact with the other one, so that was really lovely. Very nice.
Was a bit different. Your last trip.
Well, when you go over sometimes and you're not there for long, you don't really have a lot of time on your hands to go and do all the social things that you might otherwise do. It's always hard, isn't it?
Also a lot of my friends, most of the people I went to school with don't actually live in the area anymore. So unless you're going around the country visit them, it gets difficult. So I was really lucky that one of my friends lived near where Chris lives, and the lovely Amanda came up from London, made the trip up there. So, I was lucky with catching up with people.
Yeah. And the two friends you met here one you hadn't seen for donkey's years. She's just moved back into the area after all those years.
Yes, it was a lovely trip.
It was.
Yeah, well, I always think it's fascinating to go through old documents and things, and you actually start, you start asking those questions about who was that person and how does that person relate to that person. It helps you frame in your mind a kind of mental map of your family tree and the lineage that comes off of it as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really like, we've got, I love my military history, as you know, Millie, and we've got Anzac Day coming up on Monday. Which is a very important day in our calendar. And we're off to the football match, which is going to be pretty good. But I always have a bit of a flick through my uncle's and my grandfather's war records and just have a bit of a flick through those just to see what's written on them, just to sort of make that connection for myself. So I think that's really important.
Yes, it is. Very important.
Sad.